Now we need to understand that widows at this time had normally no provision made for them when their husbands had died. And in fact, this problem has not been addressed until very close to the time in which we live. When the husband died, the wife was left behind, the widow, in the majority of cases with no claim on the husband's estate. The estate was given to the nearest male relative. The widow was often left destitute, having no claim at all on the estate, and was left at the mercy or generosity of the male relative who had inherited the husband's estate. Those of you who've seen the television series of books by the Brontes on Jane Austen have got a flavour for that. How that widows were treated very poorly. But it wasn't something that occurred just in the 19th century. It was something that went right back in history. And you can read about it in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. And just read through that to get a flavour of the situation that a widow would find herself in. And it was a dilemma which grew in the church, because there were a number of those in the church who had no means of support whatsoever. Paul therefore raises this issue with young Pastor Timothy and says, you've got a problem here, Timothy, that you've got to deal with in pastoring in the Ephesian church. He gives him explicit instructions as to the care that's needed. He says to Timothy, you need to pay attention to this question. This was not just an Ephesian situation. Let me read to you a short passage from Acts chapter 6, the church in Jerusalem. In those days, when a number of Jews among them complained against Hebraic Jews, the Grecian Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were giving a better deal, in fact, they were given a better deal. Food banks are not something new. There was a food bank in operation in the church in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost and as the church grew. And Jewish widows and Greek widows were among those who received the benefit of these food banks. But one felt that they were having a raw deal. It became a racial question, not just a question of race, not just a question of widows of one group or another. It became a racial issue, as much of the things are in our society today. And the apostles gathered together because there was a continual murmuring in the church. They felt they were not getting a raw deal, that the church was letting them down. And the apostles said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Because you see, it was the apostles who had the job of distributing the food. And the apostles realized that the problem was with them, that they needed to have a situation in which the food was distributed fairly and that they could get on with their ministry of prayer and preaching. We will turn this responsibility over to a group. And they said to the church in Jerusalem, you choose seven men who are going to be responsible for the ministry of distributing the food to see it done in a fair and equitable way so that the Greek Jewish widows and the Jewish widows each got a fair food distribution. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so it happened. And because of that, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith. It touched every aspect of life. And it wasn't just a problem that occurred in the church in Jerusalem. It occurred throughout the Roman Empire. Widows were given a rough deal. And when they came into the church and became Christians, they expected a better deal and needed a better deal. And Paul says to Timothy, now get a grip of this situation, Timothy. Listen to what James said in his letter, as he writes to Jewish Christians, in fact. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows and in their distress to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The group who the Apostle James was writing to, had the same problem. And it was a problem which Paul was writing to Timothy about. Now, it's not one that we would readily associate with our church, is it? If we looked at the church here at Cove, and said, well, what is the main problem that we have? We wouldn't identify it as one with not looking after widows. At least I hope it isn't. It's a question, isn't it? How do we treat people in the church? Widows in those days, when Paul writes to Timothy at Ephesus, he says, watch out, you've got a problem here with widows. Widows seem to have a different time of it in the church. And in the first century, widows suffered in Roman society, and especially in the life of the Christian churches. However, widows came off worse. And so Paul writes to Timothy. He starts this particular passage in a slightly different way. He says, look at the life of the church in general. He says, look at older men. Don't treat them roughly. Don't treat older people. Now perhaps we get to a more modern situation, don't we? He says, don't treat older men badly. Treat older men as fathers. Treat them as those who have now reached an older age of life and need help. And it's up to you in the church to give them that help, not just to ignore them, not just to say, well, everything's got to be done for young people. Everything's got to be done for the youth. And then Paul goes on to say, well, what about younger men? He says, don't ignore those either. Don't treat them in any different way. Treat them as brothers. Treat them as members of the family of God. Of older women, treat them as mothers. Of younger women, treat them as sisters and widows. There's got to be an absolute standard of purity here in the church. The church must be above reproach. No group in the church has special rights or privileges over any other group. Give proper recognition to those in the church. And we have that principle that comes down to us in the life of the church, the principle of care and consideration, a proper recognition of those in need. A discernment is a vital attribute in reckoning the needs among the needy in the church. It's never enough to use the resources of the fellowship on those who do not really have a need for it. And so Paul writes to Timothy, widows should be cared for within the family group, within the church. And when James writes, he says it's a matter of real religion. Is putting caring and consideration to those in need within the family of life in the church? We need to be caring for people within the family life of the church. And the resources that the church have must be given to those who need care, to those whose Christian duty and religion is to offer care to members of their own families. Discernment is a vital tool in the question of caring. How does this person who claims to be in real need live? What does verse 6 say here in this reading? But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. It's very easy to ignore people, to put them on one side, even as far as considering, well, they are of no use to the church. They've got no real needs, but they need caring for as much as everyone else. And the lives of those within the church must not be spiritual sponges, drawing the resources from the church when there is new real needs, when people are desperate in their situation. And perhaps that's a real test, isn't it, at this time within the church, within this church, within any church, because of the situation with the cost of heating, with inflation, within all sorts of pressures on people. Suddenly life has become hard and difficult for many, many who have never been in that position before. And we need to be aware of that in living within the Church of God. We must not be spiritual sponges, drawing resources of the church from those whose need is real and desperate in their situation. Listen to Paul's words here. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. As Christians, we have a responsibility, not just for members of the church, but for members of our own families. And Paul goes on to justify some of those situations. Again, it comes down to age. The age, people when they get older need more help. Situations are often difficult for them. And very often we find that with those who are older, they're very proud. And they don't often give a voice to their situations. What are they like? Faithful in character? Are they faithful? Are the people that we are called to care for faithful in their situation, faithful to the church, faithful to their families, faithful to their friends? What sort of lifestyle do they live? Do they bring up their children well? Are there good deeds flowing from their lives? Do they bless each other with hospitality, with feet washing? Well, I guess no one comes around and says, oh, can I wash your feet these days? And they help others with good deeds. There's a whole variety of things that we can do to bless people. And Paul says, don't waste your resources on younger people, perhaps, where there is no obvious need. Don't let the younger people become a drain on the resources that should be given to those who are in need, those who are older, those who are like widows, have no resources to rely on. He goes on to say, do not put temptation in people's way. In verse 11, as for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. He says they've got other things on their minds. People have other things concerning them when they're younger. And we need to have discernment in caring. The thing is this, that insensitivity or lack of discernment within the fellowship of caring for each other can destroy a fellowship, can destroy the life of God's people. It's something that can become habit forming. So Paul says, do not get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. Paul says, don't become those who are like, again, spiritual sponges, drawing from the resources and needs that people have for their own blessing and benefit, but to give. What's the word that is said here? It is more blessed to give than to receive, and it's more blessed for us to help others than to receive help from others. If we like spiritual sponges, it can become a habit of idleness, a habit where we draw resources from the church, which should be going to those in need. The example, of course, is Jesus himself. And what is that example? It comes down to the cross. Jesus is dying on the cross. And there's a group of people standing there. John 19:25-27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved, that was John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus is dying, bearing the sin of the world, in agony on the cross. Yet his concern, his care, is for his mother, for the blessing that she needs, the care that she needs. And that care falls on John. And interestingly enough, of course, where Paul is writing here to Timothy in Ephesus, John lived a number of years in Ephesus, caring for Mary, Jesus's mother. So Paul writes to Timothy, and he talks about widows. And he says, in effect, do not let this problem of care, which should be happening within the church, destroy the church, because it can do very easily. Treatment of widows in Acts 6 remind us that this can bring division and disaster within the church. Instead of people being helped, they feel helpless and hopeless because they're being ignored, because they're being treated badly within the fellowship of the church. Jesus says, "I'm among you as one who serves." And of course, giving his life a ransom for many. Token service will never do. It must be real and effective, as the life of Jesus was and still is today. He wants to work through us to make his care and consideration and comfort and compassion part of the everyday picture of what a church should be like. Because when it's like that, it's a picture of him. And we have a principle of care and consideration, of help and of hope for those in need, a proper recognition of those in need, discerning their needs, helping them in their needs. Because when that happens, the church becomes a picture of the life of Jesus, not only in us as individuals, but in us as a church. Is our church, is this church, a picture of the life of Jesus in our society, in this area? The challenge of this very strange, I suppose, passage in its talking about widows becomes a challenge to us about caring for those who are in need within the church. Is it a picture of Jesus that we give to others? We can be so full of enjoying ourselves, of doing things for ourselves, that the needs of others within the church can be ignored. Jesus looked from the cross down to that situation where his mother, a widow, quite obviously, would be ignored. And he calls on John. One of those apostles he has chosen to look after his mother. It presents us with a picture of a challenge to us within this church, within every Christian church. We need to discern where the needs are and to fulfill them. And to give that picture of what the church should be like. A picture, in fact, of Jesus operating through us, through the power of the Spirit, to the glory of God, so that those without, those who are not in the fellowship of the church, as they look in, can see something of the very life of Christ in the Church of God, in this church, and in our lives. The challenge is there for us. In a very strange passage from Paul writing to Timothy, the challenge is there. Let's meet it. And let's give glory to Jesus in fulfilling the help and care that he wants to give through us to others, to the praise of his name. Amen.